Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Murrett, and this is our third lecture in the book of Genesis. We come today to chapter 3, verse 17, and God is describing life before sin. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin the study in, chapter 2. And we begin our study in verse 17 of Genesis chapter 2. Let's actually begin reading in verse 16. It says, "The Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden.'" 17. "But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." God was very clear. You eat from this one particular tree, and it is sin, and you will die. No second chances, no overs, and no excuses. 18. "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.'" Notice that the command not to eat the forbidden fruit was given to Adam. It was given to Adam before Eve was even created. It would be Adam's job to teach Eve. Man is designed by God to be the spiritual leader in the home. That is the way God intended it to be from the very beginning. That doesn't mean that women and men are not equal. Spiritually speaking, they certainly are. But somebody has to drive. And God declared from the beginning, for the sake of order, that man was to be the spiritual leader in the home. 19. "Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name." The next time someone tells you that the first man was a half ape eating raw meat and grunting, you can tell them the truth. Tell them, no, that's not the way it was. He was 100% man, created in the image of God, a vegetarian, who had a tremendous vocabulary, because there are somewhere around 35,000 different species of animals, and Adam named every one of them. Verse 20. "So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found." Adam named all the animals, which means that he saw all the animals. And even though they were nice company, Adam knew that he was alone. They all had mates, but he didn't have anyone like himself. And so he knew he was missing something. He just wasn't sure exactly what it was. 21. "So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. For Adam's sake, it wasn't good for man to be alone. And in order to have more people on the earth, it wasn't good for man to be alone. The plants were ordered to reproduce after their kind. And they were given seeds to make that happen. Well, Adam wasn't equipped with a pit or with seeds. And so God stepped in and created a female. Now Adam has a companion, and now everything is set for the human race to reproduce. 22. "Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man. And he brought her to the man, and the man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. This is exactly what Adam had been looking for. He said, this is bone of my bones. In other words, she is just like me. And will you notice how God brought her to Adam? She was a gift to him from God. Verse 24. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The physical union between a man and his wife was designed by God. And it is the will of God. And that union should not happen unless it is between a man and his wife. It is not okay for two men to have some kind of union. It is not okay for two women to have some sort of union. Any sexual union between two people of the same sex is by God's definition perverted. To put it bluntly, if that's not blunt enough, God calls it an abomination. You see the way God intended things to be here. Right from the beginning, verse 25, the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Adam and Eve were totally comfortable with each other. They had nothing to hide because neither one had ever sinned. And so as a sinless couple, they enjoyed each other spiritually and physically. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The serpent may have been able to speak. Maybe like, you know, a parrot does today. But it wasn't the serpent who was speaking this time. It was the devil using the serpent. He got Eve alone, away from her spiritual head, Adam, and he went to work on her. Verse 1 again, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Notice how the devil planted a doubt in Eve's mind about the truthfulness of what God said. You know, it wasn't a real frontal attack. He did not say, "God is a liar, Eve." He's too smart to say something like that. Satan knows that Eve would have been repelled by an accusation like that. Instead, it was sort of a subtle attack directed at the character of God. Satan always attacks the Word of God. If he can get you to doubt the Word of God, you are wide open to attack. Verse 2. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" When you contrast Eve's words right here with God's original command, they do not match. Eve added to God's command by saying that God told us not to touch it. And then she took away from God's command by weakening the penalty for disobedience. She said, "lest you die." In other words, for fear that we may die. Well, God didn't say that either. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They would die. She lessened the likelihood that there would be a penalty for sin in her mind. And that caused her to become open-minded, which is going to really lead to trouble. Verse 4. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. You will not surely die. Well, there's the lying devil that we've all learned to despise. Jesus said, Satan is the father of lies, and this is the big lie that he has been spreading since Adam and Eve. You can sin and get away with it. 5. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Satan called God a liar in verse 4, and now here in verse 5 he accuses God of being selfish. Oh, there's so much more for you and your husband, Eve, but God doesn't want you to enjoy it. He is hogging it all. He's hogging all the good stuff for himself, Eve. If you eat that fruit, Eve, you'll really be happy then. Verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some, and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her. And he ate. He ate it as well. And so Eve was tricked. But not Adam. Adam simply chose to go with his wife rather than go with God. Adam made a god out of his wife by doing what she wanted rather than what he knew God wanted. Disobeying God is too high a price to pay for peace in the home. And Adam made the wrong choice here. Verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. As soon as they sinned, they felt something that they never felt before, and that was guilt. As soon as they sinned, they knew that Satan lied to them. Sin did not deliver the good that Satan said it would. They were promised divinity. What they got was an immediate terror of God and a mistrust of each other, too. Their relationship with God has been snapped, which means they're feeling sort of like a lost child in a crowded Walmart. They lost God, and to some degree they lost each other. I mean, how in the world can they trust each other to do what is right for them when they can no longer trust each other to do what is right in God's eyes? They can't. That is the source of problems in relationships. You see it right here. It all goes back to this. The sinful heart of man, which began right here. Verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Even if God wasn't God, he would have known that there was something wrong. That's because instead of being right there to meet with God as usual, they were hiding in the bushes. Verse 9, but the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" Adam was so afraid and so full of guilt that he would have run from God all his life, died, and gone to hell. God pursued Adam because he knew Adam would never pursue him. You know, God still does that. If you are saved today, it's only because the Holy Spirit pursued you and wouldn't quit bugging you until you cried out to Christ for salvation. If God doesn't go after Adam, he's in the same boat as the devil, lost with no help. No hope, I should say. 10. He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid." I was afraid. When you walk with God, you will have faith, not fear. When you walk with God, you will know that He is in control and that nothing will happen that won't be good for you in the long run. But when a person sins, their fellowship with God is cut off and fear moves in. That's what happened with Adam and Eve. I guess we better stop here for today. We'll pick up our study in chapter 3, verse 11 next time. Until next time, Mike Murat for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.